You can get biblical financial wisdom delivered to your inbox each week, absolutely free. Articles, videos, podcasts, and special offers on biblical resources. Over 60,000 people receive our free weekly wisdom email, and you can too. Create your free FaithFi account by going to faithfi.com and click sign up to begin receiving weekly wisdom in your inbox.
Christians are generous people, as God calls us to be. That means we must also be discerning. I am Rob West. We should always give with our hearts out of a passion for advancing God's kingdom, but we must also use our heads to strategically choose which organizations or causes receive our financial support. Ron Blue joins us today with some advice before you write that check. And then it's on to your calls at 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. This is Faith and Finance, biblical wisdom for your financial decisions. Ron Blue is co-founder of Kingdom Advisors and the author of many books on biblical personal finance. He's counseled many people over the years about effective, strategic giving. Ron, great to have you back.
Always great, Rob. Looking forward to it.
Ron, I recommend Splitting Heirs as the go-to book for folks on wealth transfer. And in addition to helping them think through, is the next steward chosen and prepared? You lay out a series of questions in that book that we should ask before financially supporting a ministry. And we want to talk through those today. But what made you want to include this teaching in this particular book?
Well, I was told by the head of a Christian ministry one time something that I have found to be true experientially, and that is that most people give to an appeal. They don't necessarily give through thoughtful giving thoughts to, is this the right ministry to accomplish the right purpose? Is this the right leader? Things like that. So most people give emotionally.
Yes.
And consequently, they don't give as much as what they could.
Yeah. So we want to help you give strategically today. All right, Ron, let's make our way through some of these questions that you've included in Splitting Heirs. Where do you want to start?
Well, one of them is leadership. And, ministries typically are founded by entrepreneurial type people.
Yes.
And there's nothing wrong with that. I'm an entrepreneur. But they sometimes get ahead of themselves. And their vision outpaces their ability to pull it off. However, if they are godly men or women, they're looking for accountability, and that's going to keep them in line. So to me, a godly characteristic for a leader would be someone that holds them, is being held accountable by their choice.
Yes, that's a key idea. Are the leaders marked by godly characteristics? The next question you include is the ministry active in God's hot spots? Explain that for us.
Well, you know, somebody said one time, I want to find out what God is doing and get in on it.
Yes.
And that's not bad counsel at all. And by God's hot spots, it could be different things. It could be an orphanage in Uganda where God is doing some just wonderful things, or it could be an international, it could be an event type ministry like Billy Graham used to do. So God's hotspots are typically where you see God at work. And it's demonstrated by not necessarily the number results, but really the people results.
Yes.
So are people's lives being changed into disciples of Christ would be a good question to ask myself.
Ron, another question is the ministry growing and cooperative? And I think this is a big idea because so often ministries kind of get walled off and don't work well together with others. But unpack this for us.
Well, I think that's very, very true. You know, my philosophy is that everything comes from God, so I don't own anything, and including my ministry and the results of my ministry. So what I want to see is God causing growth, or is there growth that you couldn't even discriminate it from a worldly appeal? So what's the appeal? And the appeal to me needs to be around people and changed lives ultimately. And that may mean buildings and things to help, but the end result are changed lives of people. And so is the ministry doing that? And also, are they cooperating with others in ministry? God doesn't do everything through one ministry, so we need to collaborate.
Excellent. Well, a few of the others, is the ministry goal-oriented and is the ministry accountable? There's also several more, so you're going to want to pick up a copy of Splitting Hairs so you can be effective and strategic in your own giving. Ron, thanks for stopping by.
Thank you, Rob. Enjoyed it again.
That's Ron Blue, author of Splitting Hairs. Your calls are next, 800-525-7000. We'll be right back.
Have you downloaded the FaithFi app yet? You need to do that today, because this is going to make your life easier. Yes, you can manage your money through the in-app envelope feature, but also plan out future goals. I want to buy a house in 5 years, and I'm on track to do that. Here's also what I like. You can connect with people around the country. It's like social media, but better. Ask a question, get an answer, and share what you're learning about money and investing. So why don't you grab your phone right now and download the FaithFi app?
As the leading advocate for the Christian financial industry, Kingdom Advisors serves the public by promoting the integration of a biblical worldview across every aspect of the financial services industry. And we serve a growing network of thousands of Christian financial professionals, equipping and empowering them to carry biblical financial wisdom to their clients, peers, and community. For more information, visit KingdomAdvisors.com. That's KingdomAdvisors.com.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance. It's time to take your calls and questions today, 800-525-7000. Whatever is on your mind today, I'd love to chat about it. We can hear from you right now at 800-525-7000. We've got lines open. Our team is ready to take your call. Also, if you have a testimony today, perhaps you'd like to share how God has been at work in your financial life, how you've applied these principles, maybe by living in God's economy rather than the world's, you've been able to discern the leading of the Holy Spirit to give more than you thought you might, or to make a change in your financial life, or just to enjoy the peace of mind that comes from trusting God for your provision and living within it. Well, we'd love to hear those stories as well. You can call with those and we'll take them at 800-525-7000. Let's go out to Mississippi. Michael, how can I serve you?
Yes, sir. So I'm on a variable income. So during the summer, I do HVAC. So during the summer, you know, I have plenty of work, just plenty of business. Yeah. And then during the winter, it slows down almost to a complete halt. So, I mean, I still have some income during the winter, but not as much. So my income kind of almost cuts in half. I was wondering, like, what should I be doing, or what resources are available to help me during that downtime?
Yeah, boy, that's a challenging one, I know. And there are strategies, we can talk about those here in a moment, around variable income budgeting so you don't get caught off guard, because we know it's coming. So we've got to have a plan to kind of smooth out your income. Let me ask you, is there a way for you to, in the off months, to kind of refocus, whether it means adding a new skill set or something else where, you know, you're cleaning the ducts in the winter and that becomes the priority, or you're obviously servicing heating, you know, the heating portion of the units. I mean, are there other things that you could really focus on marketing during that off season to smooth it out on the income side before we address the spending?
Absolutely. So we're a small company. It's just me and my boss, and he tries to keep me as busy as he can during the winter. And we do have some heat calls, but not nearly as much for my income as, you know, AC calls. So it's kind of like he would need me at the, you know, at the drop of a hat, or, you know, on call or something like that, in case, you know, we had any calls. So like getting another job isn't exactly viable.
Yeah. No, that makes total sense. I think the key would be to try to expand your services so that maybe there's something else that you focus on during those winter months. I mean, obviously, the heat that we've been encountering the last month or so has, I'm sure, played in your favor. You've probably got more work than you can handle right now. In terms of what's called variable income budgeting, you know, this is going to sound simpler than it is, because I realize this is challenging to do. But the big idea here is to look over your income and expenses for the past year and, you know, look at that 12-month expenses and then set up a budget based on your needs. But essentially, what you'd want to do is have your paychecks paid to a savings account during the summer, and then put yourself on a regular recurring income. And we're going to need to base the budget on the average over 12 months. And so obviously, we need to include those winter months as we're looking at the income that you're going to have available over a 12-month time frame. And then the question will be, and I realize this is, you know, not going to be easy, especially with expenses up so dramatically like they are over the last 4 years, but if we could get that 12-month number divided by 12 and then build your budget around that, not only right up to the edge, but even with a little bit of cushion there, then what you could do is actually set up that automatic transfer from savings of that lower amount into your operating or your checking account, and then budget accordingly on that. And then obviously, if we do this right over a year's time, then, you know, what you have or what you need to supplement in the winter is going to be sitting there in savings. And so we can smooth out, you know, that that amount that's coming into checking. And it's almost like you put yourself on a salary. And then the key will be to have a system to control not only the flow of money but the flow of money out. And that's where I think our FaithFi app could be really helpful, where you use a digital envelope system. As that monthly check comes in from savings or that monthly transfer, it automatically funds electronically your envelopes. It's not actually moving money, but in the app, it's taking the dollars and allocating them to your various envelopes. And then when you connect to your checking or savings or credit card accounts, as those transactions come in, the system over time learns where they go, automatically categorizes them. And the key is, at any point during the month, you can open up the FaithFi app and see, okay, what do I have left this month until I, you know, pay myself again in eating out? What do I have in clothing? What do I have in entertainment and all the rest? So I think that could be a great approach to you. If we haven't been doing this, you know, it's going to be challenging until you get a full year's cycle under your belt. But if you can do it, you know, I think it'll smooth things out. Give me your thoughts on that, though.
Oh, no, I'm absolutely, you know, yeah, it's not something I've actually thought about before, but yeah, that makes sense. And I think that would actually, that actually makes a lot of sense. I think that would actually help me make it through the winter.
All right, let's do this. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So you'd even have your checks go directly into savings and then pay yourself out of that. The key is to right size the budget so that you're working off of, you know, a 12-month average of your total income for the year. And we're budgeting within that so that you've got enough left and you truly are building up those surpluses in the summer months when things are really happening. Here's what I'd like to do for you, Michael. Two things. One is I'm going to give you a 6-month subscription to the FaithFi app just to get you started. But the other thing I want to do, if you'd take advantage of it, is I'd love to connect you with one of our certified Christian financial counselors. We have several of them on our team here. And as our gift to you, I'd like to gift you several sessions with that certified Christian financial counselor to actually help you get all the pieces in place and bring another perspective on the budget and just kind of get all that in place so that it's really humming for you. If that's something you'd take advantage of, we'd be happy to cover the cost on that.
Lee, thank you so much.
All right. Happy to do it. So you stay on the line. We'll get your information. We'll get you that 6-month pro subscription to the FaithFi app, and we'll get a CERT CFC in touch with you to get you moving forward. And hopefully things will be much better come this winter, or at least on your way to things improving. Here's my only ask of you, Michael, is at some point down the road when this is all working the way that it should, give us a call and tell us how it's going. Okay.
Absolutely.
All right.
Thank you.
Hang on the line. Our team will get your information. God bless you, my friend. Thanks for calling today. You got to love the HVAC guys, especially this time of year. Man, I love my air conditioning. And so when it's not working, we know it in a hurry. But, you know, variable income budgeting can be challenging, folks. I think the key is, and this is just true of so much of our financial lives, is we just need to have a plan, right? We need to have a plan that allows us to kind of smooth out those ebbs and flows, whether it's, you know, getting a bonus every year and not kind of spreading that out over the year, but using it for high ticket items rather than kind of getting it baked back into the budget. Or maybe it's a tax refund rather than
changing that W-4 and getting that back into your paycheck. You use that once a year to buy, you know, take a vacation or buy big ticket items. It's just all about planning. By the way, if you're looking for advice from a financial professional and you'd like someone who shares your values and who has met high standards and character and competence and ethics, well, we trust the Certified Kingdom Advisor designation, the only financial services industry designation out there that is around biblically wise financial advice, pastor and client references, annual continuing education, experience, character, and ethics requirements all having been met. You can find a CK in your area, and I'd interview at least two or three. Just go to faithfi.com, click find a professional. That's faithfi.com. Hey, back with more in our final segment right around the corner. Stick around.
Absolutely free. We know you've learned to be suspicious of those words, but really, you can get biblical financial wisdom delivered to your inbox each week absolutely free. Articles, videos, podcasts, and special offers on biblical resources. Nearly 60,000 people receive our free weekly wisdom email, and you can too. Create your free FaithFi account by going to faithfi.com and click sign up to begin receiving weekly wisdom in your inbox.
We are grateful for support from the Eventide Center for Faith and Investing. ECFI is an educational initiative of Eventide Asset Management that seeks to help Christians understand and practice biblically faithful investing. They do this through their podcast and online journal featuring articles from industry thought leaders and their course called Discover God's Story for Investing. More information is available at faithandinvesting.com. That's faithandinvesting.com.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance. We're taking your calls and questions today on anything financial, helping you apply the wisdom from God's Word to your practical financial decisions and choices. Maybe it's that spending plan that's tripping you up, or trying to get that debt paid off once and for all. Maybe it's saving for the future and how to navigate the volatility in the stock market as you save in your 401k or other investment accounts. Or maybe it's giving generously. How do we give in a way that aligns with the heart of God and makes sense in terms of a plan? Or maybe it's giving out of assets, which is your greatest opportunity for generosity, would be coming from your balance sheet. Well, there are very specific ways to do that that can allow you to give even more, perhaps, than you ever considered. Any of those questions are in play today. The number to call right now with lines open, 800-525-7000. We'd love to hear from you today. Let's go back to the phones to Ohio we go. Hi, Lois. Go ahead.
Hi, how exciting to talk to you.
Well, I'm thrilled you're on the program. Thank you.
Okay, so I belong to a church in an affluent suburb, and we have many faithful and well-off members. So our church has plenty of money. It always has had. We just finished a building project debt-free with money left over. And now someone has just given us $2.4 million unrestricted.
Wow.
So this is great. But my question is, I've always supported my church as well as other ministries and nonprofits. It seems a little silly to give money just to sit in the bank, but I also don't feel right about not supporting my church.
Yeah.
So I wondered what your thoughts were on that.
I certainly resonate with that, Lois. You know, here's the thing. I think the key idea is to realize that God doesn't need our money, and giving is not for his sake, but for our sake. You could say it this way. It's not what God wants from us. It's what God wants for us. And so I think the primary motivator of our giving is really an overflow of our gratitude to the Lord, for starting with the fact that he's given us his son who paid the penalty for our sins on the cross, that we might be reconciled with the Father and be in a right standing relationship with him. And, you know, out of that, overflow of our gratitude to God, one way we can express that is through our giving. And I think, based on the admonition of Scripture, that should start with the local church. Now, we're no longer under the law of Moses, and so I don't think we have a, necessarily the tithe is a requirement requirement in the way that it was in the Old Testament covenant. But I will say that I think it's not a ceiling, it's a floor, and I think it's a good guideline or a starting point for our giving. And I would, you know, take back us back to maybe 2 Corinthians, you know, chapter 9. Each of you should give what you've decided in your heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion. So this is not a must-do, it's a get-to. And then he goes on to say, for God loves a cheerful giver. And so I think we give cheerfully. I think we give at a minimum that tithe as a guideline for our giving, that systematic gift to the Lord, starting with the local church, is the place to give. And I would say that's irrespective of the financial status of the church. Now, I think one opportunity would be, and hopefully this is already underway, especially just given what you described about some of the recent giving that has been done, you know, maybe there's an opportunity for the church leadership, lay leadership, pastoral staff to think about what do they do with that money? Because I don't think we should just be building up larger and larger reserves. That money was to be get it into circulation in God's economy. And so perhaps there's more mission work that can be done, more programming to take the gospel to your community. Maybe you serve on one of those committees. But as to giving, I would say absolutely continue giving to your local church. Thanks for your call. Let's finish out the broadcast today. We'll head to Kansas. Hi, Marty. Go ahead.
Yeah, about 3 years ago, I had saved up some money, and I bought about $15,000 worth of gold. And since then, I have saved another $10,000. And I just want to make sure that I'm doing the right thing by buying gold and not leaving it sit in a savings account in a bank. What's your thoughts about that?
Yeah. Well, I like gold a lot, and obviously you've been rewarded handsomely as of late. Gold has done well. It's flattened out, you know, more recently, but it has done well. It typically does not do as well as just an overall properly diversified stock and bond portfolio. So the S&P 500 outpaces gold over the longer term. And on top of that, it doesn't have any income associated with it. So we tend to say on this program, although there's a place for gold, Marty, you should probably think about perhaps a 5% forever allocation that you might just buy and hold and plan to leave to your heirs, where you might take the physical gold, but only 5% of your total investable assets. And then if you wanted to go another 5%, you could do that either in more physical gold or through one of the tracker funds, which is basically where you'd buy and sell an exchange traded fund, just like you'd buy a stock, you know, 5 days a week when the market's open, but you don't have to take physical possession of it. And they keep the gold in those big vaults. And, you know, you don't have the added hassle of the premium to buy and sell. You don't have to store it. And that's an easy way to kind of dial up your percentage. But even then, I generally recommend you don't go above 10%. So I wouldn't get overweighted there for the reasons I mentioned. It's fairly illiquid. It's expensive to sell because you've got the markups, doesn't have any income, and it tends to be a bit more volatile with less overall long-term performance. So it's a great way to add some diversification to your portfolio. I just wouldn't, you know, put all my eggs in one basket there. But what is this, if you added another $10,000, what does that $25,000 represent in light of your total investable assets?
About half.
Okay. Yeah. So that's a good bit more. So if it were me, I'd probably stop at the $15,000 that you've got and just kind of leave that there, and then maybe take this $10,000. And if you're wanting to stay on the very safe end of the risk spectrum, perhaps look at CDs or high yield savings. Certainly, if you don't have an emergency fund, you know, that's liquid, I'd put it in high yield savings. If you do, then you could lock it up in a 1 or 2 or 3 year CD, or you know, you could look at treasury bonds from the U.S. government, something like that. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does, yeah.
Okay. But I think just given the amount that you already have, you know, $15,000 on a $50,000 portfolio, I mean, you're talking, you're at about 30%, right? Yeah, you are at 30% of $50,000. So you're already overweighted. So I'd look at either lightening that, or if you want to just leave that there, I certainly wouldn't add any more to it. Marty, thanks for calling today, sir. We appreciate you being on the program. May the Lord bless you. folks, such a privilege to come alongside you each day, to encourage you, to hear your stories. We count it a privilege that you invite us into your journey as a steward of God's resources. And our goal is to be hopeful, to be encouraging, to be reverent as we deal with and approach God's word, but always to point you back to Jesus. Here's my experience. When we get this area of our lives right, our finances, it has a ripple effect through every other area of our lives and ultimately will lead to a more intimate relationship with the Lord. That's our goal. A big thanks to my team today, Taylor, Devin, and Pat, and we'll see you next time right here on Faith and Finance.
Faith and Finance is provided by FaithFi and listeners like you.